What's up, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 26, 2019. Joining me today is the one, the only, Mr. Gary Witta.
Hello.
And special, extremely special guest, the adorable...
Serena. Your adorable Serena. You want to say hello?
Hi.
So our special Pokemon correspondent is joining us today.
We have a special Pokemon correspondent who's going to tell us all about the world of Pokemon.
I am super close to the third gym badge.
You're super close to the third gym badge. What's the third gym?
The fire gym.
The fire gym? Now, which Pokemon starter did you pick?
Sobble.
You chose Sobble? So you're going to do pretty well at the fire gym then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, water type is good against fire type, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I already got myself a poison uniform, and somewhere someone gave me a Toxel.
A Toxel? Oh, super cool.
It was level one. It's really hard to win a battle with it. Because the other person always goes first.
Mm-hmm. What's the? Did you name your Pokemon trainer after you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you change up the clothes or anything like that?
Yeah. Even my hair.
Your
yeah,
hair?
Your trainer looks like her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Except for my hair. In my eyes.
What did you just get in
my lipstick.
What did you just get in the game that you were telling me about that you're really excited about?
A bike.
A bike. Ooh, you got the Rotom bike.
The best.
Yeah. So now you're like cruising all around town on a bike?
I am already in the second mine.
Oh, the second
mine. I've defeated Bead or Bed or whatever her name is twice.
Yeah, he is very, like, he likes to come at you and pretend he's so good, but you beat him twice.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your team look like besides Sobble?
Yeah, who else is in your Pokédex?
Like Bubba, the Toxel I got, and the Dynamax Pokemon Drifloon, and I pretty much forgot the rest.
They'll be important when they're important. You don't need to worry about them. So, all right, as our Pokemon correspondent, what do you think of the game? How do you feel about Pokemon?
It is awesome.
It's awesome.
What do you like best about the game?
Catching Pokemon and naming them, I guess.
Do you have any cool names for your Pokemon yet?
I named my Yamper Lightning Dog.
Lightning Dog. Oh, that's a good one. That fits the character.
For a second, for a little bit, it was Spark Pup.
Spark Pup is also really good, too. So, yeah, how long do you think it's going to be until you're a Pokemon master?
I don't know, until I get all of my gym badges and get all the poison types.
All the poison types.
We're going on a mission after this to go find the guidebook, which either is or isn't out yet, depending on who you
think. Yeah, I need to figure out my favorite Pokemon in the entire game.
Mm-hmm. You need to. We want you back when you tell us, when you find out what your favorite Pokemon in the entire game is, and you're a Pokemon master, come back, tell us what that Pokemon is, so we can celebrate it.
How's that sound?
I don't know.
All right, do you want to go play some Pokemon while Imran and I do the rest of the news?
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll see you on the couch in the back in a little bit, okay?
Okay.
You know where to go?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Serena.
She's on her way out.
All right, this is Kind of Funny Games. It's Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where we run you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to hear. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong.
So again, apologies for that. But
no apologies.
As I said to Kevin and Imran before the show, I had no cover this morning. Leah has a doctor's appointment. There was no one to take care of. The little one. So I said, hey, do you want to come on Kind of Funny with me and be a Pokemon correspondent? And she said yes. So
that was fantastic content. I am all on board for her coming on.
I'm glad that you
two
were able to speak the same language there. Like, you know, a lot of that went over my head, but you seem to understand all of it.
She knows way more than I do.
She's the real expert.
Yeah. You can watch us each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live with Kind of Funny Games. Our twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to hear. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen later by searching through Kind of Funny Games Daily on podcast services around the globe. Today's stories include: the Pokemon Company's gotta catch all the leakers, a new Tony Hawk game might be in the works, and Battleborn is apparently dead. But first, a little housekeeping. We want to thank our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Zach Parsley, Muhammad Muhammad. And today, we're brought to you by nothing and no one, because we got no advertisers because it's a short week. So, for now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
So you mean I don't have to sit here for 5 minutes while you talk about shaving your balls?
No.
Okay. That's a relief. It's a Thanksgiving miracle, Kevin.
It's time for some news. We got four stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
By the way, before we get to that, let's get to the real top story, which has been discussed on Twitter, but I think many people may have missed it.
Go for it.
And I think the Kind of Funny Games Daily audience needs to hear about it. What's the real news, Kevin? What's the real top story this week?
Screen Cats is back on!
Screen Cats is back on! That's right, it's happening.
Okay.
It's happening.
Okay.
Kevin and I are going to Cats. We're going, and we're going to do Screen Cat. We are actually going to do the content as well, right,
yeah,
Kevin?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right, just checking.
That movie, everything I've seen of it is horrifying.
No, you're reading it all wrong.
I'm reading it like the original Sonic trailer. I see that thing, I'm like,
right,
this looks bad. I really hope they fix it, but I think it's too late to fix all that stuff.
Oh, no, I mean, it's done. The movie's done. Yeah. That Sonic story was, what a turnaround. That was amazing, wasn't it?
They've done a lot to that, like, fix that up.
You guys going to watch it now? Or?
To Sonic, yes.
It comes out on Valentine's Day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm 100% going to watch it.
I'll go. We should all go on Valentine's Day.
Have a special Sonic screencast. What would you call that? What's a good pun name for that?
Sonic Cast?
Sonic Cast?
Fast Cast? Screen Fast.
Screen Fast, yeah. I like it.
Gotta go Screen Fast.
Kevin, book it.
Sounds good.
All right, awesome.
All I care about is Cats. It's happening. It's on. Yeah, that's right.
There's a new Tony Hawk Pro Skater game reportedly in the works. This is from Matt Kim at IGN. Fans nostalgic for the bygone days of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater are clamoring over new rumors that the series could be making a comeback in some form or another. Multiple sources are reporting on some kind of return for the Pro Skater series, though it's unclear at this point what exactly it will look like. There are two different Pro Skater rumors making their rounds on the internet right now. The first is reports from a well-known video game leaker and about the existence of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater remasters. The second is a quote from about a supposed new Pro Skater game in the works. Over the weekend, a video game leaker reported that there are prototypes of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remasters currently making their rounds around Activision. It should be noted that Activision and Tony Hawk split up back in 2018 following the tepid release of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, which makes any involvement of Tony Hawk in these supposed remasters questionable. These reports prompted an interview from October with professional skateboarder Lizzie Armanto to resurface, where she mentioned being featured in a new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game. Speaking on the 9 Club podcast, Armanto talked about her appearance on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, then mentioning, "Tony Hawk is coming out with another one, and I'll be in that one too." These separate reports suggest that they are both Tony Hawk's Pro Skater remasters and sequels in the works for the series, but IGN has not received any confirmation after reaching out to Activision. So this is one of those things of probably, maybe not actually like a thing that exists, but the rumors are now so prevalent and people are saying they're in it that it's starting to
Like, I would bet on it at this point. I think the smart money would be on this being founded in truth.
Yeah.
Now, I never really played the Tony Hawk games. They kind of passed me by.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, Imran, that will not stop me from having opinions.
Go for it.
I am a master of uninformed opinions. I think it's coming back. I think, you know, could there be a redemption narrative here also? Because the last couple of Tony Hawk games were not well received, right?
No.
The one, remember the one with the skateboard ride? Actually stood wobbled on that wobbly skateboard?
I remember that well.
Terrible.
Yes.
Did you ever actually try it? Were you ever wobbling on that board?
I think I tried
board?
It on a demo event once.
Awful,
and it, like,
right?
Would not work.
Just awful.
And I was like, all right, I don't have time to try this anymore.
And then, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but like Tony's Hawk 5 was like the last
Pro
real
Skater
one?
5, yeah.
And that was bad.
That was bad, yes.
Okay, so... But we know they can be good because the first two or three were Stone Cold classics, right? So why not? Why not? Maybe the time is... Sometimes when... And I think even Activision understands this, and they love to pump out, you know, the annual iterations. Mm. But sometimes when a franchise is in the doldrums, you got to let it lay fallow for a bit before you can resurrect it. And it's been a while. Maybe the time is right for Tony Hawk to come back.
I've talked to people at Activision about this before because there was a Tony Hawk remaster at one point, and they mentioned that the big problem with those games is music licensing.
Right.
And getting all that stuff back again is much harder these days.
Oh, to do the remasters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they did it. I mean, SSX3 has all that old music in it, and I'm still playing that on Xbox One in a remastered form.
True.
I think that if they wanted to play the safe bet, that, I mean, music licensing legalities aside, if they wanted to play the safe bet, bringing back the original classics
yeah.
would be the way to do it. Because, I mean, everybody would love the chance to play those again or maybe experience them for the first time in, you know, 4K or whatever it is they would do. Mm-hmm. And those are classic games. Everybody would love that. But then why not also, I would do both. Do it all. Bring back the original ones and Tony Hawk 6 or whatever it is they want to call it.
Yeah, bring back the remasters and then say, also, we've got a new Tony Hawk like coming. It's right. like, so Activision recently said during their last financial, or might have been the one before that, report was that, hey, Spyro and Crash did really well for us. We want to go back into our back catalog and start remaking things again. So I could see that being the genesis of a new Tony Hawk is, what if we just remade those games, modern graphics, bring back the old music, all that jazz, and then use that to prep a new Tony Hawk game
yeah,
also
absolutely. Works. It makes sense to me. Look, Activision is not a company that is going to leave money on the table.
Absolutely.
They put Call of Duty out every year. You know, they put Guitar Hero out every year until it was just no longer tenable. And you could argue that they killed the golden goose by doing that, by mm-hmm. going back to the well too many times. But Tony Hawk is another one of their, you know, I said, what else has Activision got? Well, they do got Tony Hawk, mm-hmm. and they've been letting it sit for a bit.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you they're thinking about how they can remonetize it and bring it back.
Yeah, one of the other things they mentioned was that because of these remakes, the Crash and Spyro remakes did so well, they're looking into making new games in that series. So these combined rumors of like somebody saying there's remasters and somebody saying there's a new game, that makes total sense with what Activision themselves has already said.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that there's probably some truth in this.
Yeah, yeah. When's the last time, because Neversoft made the original ones that people really liked, right?
Yes.
When's the last time Neversoft made, have they always been made? Like the last couple that were not well received, is that because the original developer went away or did they just go off the boil? So I feel like getting the original developers back would also be a good way to kind of reboot this.
Neversoft's closed down, so.
Oh, it doesn't even exist anymore?
Yeah, the last game they worked on was Call of Duty Ghosts.
Oh, wow.
And they were only like support on that.
Well, but maybe they could reassemble.
Yeah. The last Tony
Hawk. Some of the team members.
Last Tony Hawk game they made was Tony Hawk's Proving Ground on PS2, 360, PS3.
Oh, geez. So it has been a while.
So 2007. And then from there, they were just doing Guitar Hero games and then Call of Duty Ghosts.
So who is the dream team that you would want to bring this back? Like, if they said Tony Hawk 6 is coming and it's being developed by blank, mm-hmm. what would get you excited?
If it was, like, if they just straight up said it was, we reassembled the original team. That's
yeah.
pretty much the only way.
But that would be impossible because I'm sure they're all at, like, 100 different places.
It's almost
now.
Impossible to do that. But, like, if that was the dream team.
Or I could see, like, yeah. Bobby Kotick going around to, like, different developers, like the Blues Brothers going, we're putting the band back together. That would be cool.
Yeah, so, like, him knocking on the door.
And just throwing money at people.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see that. If they somehow, let's say they got EA's skate team, because they're obviously not making skate at this point.
Right.
And they're just like, we're making a new Tony Hawk. It's going to be a little different, but it's going to be a game genre people still like.
Right.
I think that would be still pretty exciting. It's not going to be pro skater again, but it's taking it into a new, more modern direction.
Here's what I want to say. Here's my pitch. I'm going to pitch it right now, Mr. Kotick, if you're listening. Here's what I'm going to pitch to you. Tony Hawk in time. So basically, Tony Hawk goes back through. He discovers a time machine. A skateboard time machine, basically. He's walking through Chinatown one day, mm-hmm. and he walks into this old, you know, curio shop, and there's like an old guy behind the counter, and Tony Hawk's like, oh, you know, what do you have in this shop? And he says, oh, I have all kinds of magical things, you know, monkey's paws and all kinds of stuff. And he goes, what about this skateboard? Tony Hawk's like, wow, that looks like a really special skateboard. He goes, yeah, it can travel through time. He's like, get the fuck out of here. But the guy's like, no, it's straight up. So he buys it, and, you know, he rides a skateboard, and next thing you know, he goes back in time. But he goes back in time through the history of video games.
Right.
So, like, Tony Hawk, get this, Tony Hawk in Skate or Die. Tony Hawk in 720 Degrees. Right?
Okay.
Tony Hawk in Skate. Tony Hawk basically going back and making Zelig-like cameo appearance, like Bill and Ted, through the whole history of skateboarding video games.
It's going to have like a Forrest Gump-style thing where all these games actually got inspired by Tony Hawk originally?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I would buy the hell out of this.
You realize that Tony Hawk actually, it's like First Contact. Like they go back and help Zefram Cochran build the first warp drive. Like he goes back and you realize that he invents skateboarding and skateboarding video games in particular.
Okay, yes. Absolutely, this game needs to be
made. Tony Hawk is revealed as like the basic, this messianic figure, this Christ-like figure, which, you know, frankly, is not that far from the truth in terms of skateboarding.
I mean,
Kevin's digging it. Kevin,
you gotta start
tell me you want to play this game.
Oh, 100%.
Tony in time.
100%.
Time Tony.
Yeah.
I think you need to write the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need
I think
to
it's a video game. I think it's both.
Well, yeah.
For sure.
Bobby, if you're out there, if you're watching, I know you watch Kind of Funny Games daily on the reg.
Yeah. Bobby Kotick, please take time off from filming Moneyball 2 or whatever it is you're doing and greenlight this screenplay.
What does he do all day?
Hey,
Mr. Kotick, you have to make a big decision. Shall we make another Call of Duty the game this year? Let me think. How about yes? Brilliant, you're a genius.
He did it. You've done it again, Bobby.
He must have some time in his day.
Uh-huh. He has time in his day to listen.
He has time
at least
in his day to
Hawk.
Consider this, frankly, I think, very compelling proposal.
Yes. There was a Tony Hawk mobile game recently, which I'm mentioning only because when you do a super move, it makes a hawk sound, which I feel like whatever new Tony Hawk game comes out needs to copy that.
Right.
It just needs to make a random bird sound when you do a super move.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, look, this is all coming together. This game practically makes itself.
Tony's time traveling. What would be a fourth T we could put in there?
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Tony's time tunnel.
Time tunnel, yes. Perfect.
Or Tony's time half pipe is probably more accurate.
No, there needs to be a line in the game that's straight up, time's not a flat circle, time's a half pipe.
That's right. Oh, all right, so look, it's all.
Yes.
It writes itself.
I'm telling you, this story wants to be told, Kevin. This could be the greatest skateboarding video game ever made.
Screw all the rest. We don't need the rest of it.
Because I don't even want to hear about what they're actually making. I just want to talk about this now.
If what we just described is not the actual game, then like fuck it.
It needs to be.
Throw it in the bin.
Needs to be.
The Pokemon Company wants to hunt down leakers on 4chan and Discord. It's from Luke Plunkett at Kotaku. Earlier this month, before the game's release, leaked images of Pokemon Sword and Shield started turning up online. That's pretty normal for a big video game, but the Pokemon Company are taking the matter very seriously. So seriously that they're asking a court if they can serve subpoenas on 4chan and Discord.
Wow.
As reported by Forbes, in an attempt to track down and punish those responsible for the leaks, the Pokemon Company hired, quote, outside forensic experts, who were able to identify four Discord users, one of whom was the actual source, the other three helping them disseminate the images on places like 4chan and Reddit. While their Discord users names have been discovered, the Pokemon Company doesn't know who these people actually are, and so they have gone to the U.S. District Court in Seattle in an attempt to get hold of information from Discord and 4chan that could help in tracking them down.
Wow, can you imagine being one of those leakers right now? You'd be shitting yourself.
You're just somebody who like, oh, I saw a Pokemon image, I'm going to share it on a Discord.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're up before a judge in District Court in Seattle.
I didn't put that part of the story in, but like you mentioned finding the guide earlier today, like the walkthrough, part of the one of the people they're looking at was somebody who apparently took pictures of the guide before it was released. And that's where these original photos came from.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, they're suing for damages and all that, like, lost wages and all
those
things.
What's a suitable punishment? 5 years, 10 years?
For leaking a game, I feel like leaking a game is worse than leaking information about it.
It's just money, right?
Yeah.
Leaking screenshots of a Pokemon game on Discord, I'm thinking 10 to 15. In a super max. 23 hours a day in solitary. You get one day to walk around a 6x8 concrete yard outside. Mm-hmm. You get to slop out.
This to me, it feels like...
It's the only way they'll learn, Imran. You've got to come down with the hammer of justice.
We find it acceptable because video games are just a weird secret industry.
Yeah.
That like, when you sign... Or when you get involved with video games, you absolutely can't say anything about them. If on the movie set, a Detective Pikachu, for example, someone took a picture of a Charizard and then released that picture on the internet,
that wouldn't be real, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, just check.
Someone took a picture.
Like, there's not like a Charizard hanging out on the set that someone took a picture of.
Don't ruin
of.
This for me, Gary.
Okay,
I want to believe.
I'm not trying to break the illusion.
Okay, but if that happened on a movie set, nobody would really care. Like, there may be some big things or something.
Oh,
well,
are you serious? Are you kidding me? Movie companies go mad when stuff leaks out like that.
They go,
especially
they
if it's like Star Wars or something. They go mental.
Like, Star Wars, I feel like, is a different example because of how big that is.
Yeah. But Pokemon is huge as well.
True, but the things they leaked were not huge. Like, it was just, oh, here's a Pokemon in the game they just haven't talked about yet.
I guess, I feel like what they're trying to do here is, like, scare people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't think about doing... Like, this is... They're trying to set an example here. But this does seem very, I mean, they're really going all in.
Extremely heavy-handed.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked if, like, because this happens every single generation. Like, I remember with Let's Go, somebody leaked a screenshot months before that game was announced. I think with XY, almost everything was leaked, and even in the marketing, they leaked most of this, or they ended up showing most of the stuff anyway. So they, I think, need to look at their internal security first and then start worrying about the people who would, like, take pictures of strategy
guns. Yeah, it has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. I feel like looking at this, I would not be on their side if somebody got sued from this, honestly. Like, it's too heavy-handed. It's too forceful, I think, for what this actually caused.
I'm on the side of the creators here. Bankrupt them. Send them all to the poorhouse. Make an example of them so this never happens again.
I think it's hard to make an argument of we took financial damage because of this when they're the fastest and best-selling game.
Yeah, I don't think they can make any kind of claim of, like, injury.
Yeah.
But I understand in principle why they have a case in principle, certainly.
Yeah.
But, you know, how these people could or should be punished, that's, I don't even know how to begin with that.
As a general thing, not just this specifically, but, like, general thing, how do you feel about game leaks at all?
I'm kind of ambivalent towards them.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the one hand, sometimes it's cool to see, like, we all enjoy the scuttlebutt and the rumor mill and leaked things, right? If somebody says, oh, here's a leaked image from, like, a cool up-and-coming, I'm probably going to click on it. I admit that.
Right.
At the same time, though, I'm also on the side of the creators because, you know, you work hard to do this stuff and you work hard to roll this stuff out in the right way. When stuff leaks out ahead of time and spoils, you know, the effect that you wanted to have with the reveal or whatever, that can be a bummer. So I can kind of see both sides of it.
I can see their side, but on the other hand, it's all, for me, having that information whenever you get it is fine. So, like, a good example was E3 this year, where Bandai Namco put up listings for games before they meant to put them up.
Okay.
So, like, that Miyazaki From Software George R. R. Martin game,
right,
got shown, like, it was like 3 days early or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Which a lot of people were bummed about because, like, oh, I wish I saw this at the show. And for me personally, it's like whenever I get the information is fine.
Right.
If it's now at the show or whatever, it's fine for me. I can understand from a creator perspective that it kind of sucks, but I don't think the announcement is the end-all, be-all of, like, what a game is going to be.
I think like, a couple of blurry screenshots from a fucking strategy guide are one thing.
Yes.
Like, if the whole thing gets leaked or whatever, then that you've crossed some kind
of
line.
That is screwed up, yeah. And Nintendo has gone over after people like that. I think, like, a guy in Australia who leaked New Super Mario Brothers Wii was arrested, and I think he got 3 to 5 years or something absurd.
Right.
But, like, he did leak a major game for them.
3 to 5 years, though, come on.
Well, no, keep in mind, he leaked the actual
ISO. Come on,
ISO.
He's out by now. He probably learned some important lessons. Probably earned some important lessons in prison, Kevin.
Like, to go to the Star Wars example, if you leaked the actual movie ahead of time, Disney would throw the book at you.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the dude that leaked, they, like, did the early
screen? Wasn't there, like, a... Sorry, go ahead.
Endgame.
I don't remember. I remember a few years ago, like, one of those Wolverine movies leaked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Fox went fucking ballistic.
Oh, yeah, before it had VFX and all that.
Yeah. You know, just if you're going to do that kind of shit... Make sure you cover your tracks, I guess. I mean, first of all, just don't do that shit.
Yes.
But if I can't talk you out of that, well, I shouldn't even be giving you advice, because if you're going to do it, I want you to do it in a stupid way so you do get caught.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be helping you get away with this shit. Don't cover your tracks.
Get caught.
It depends on what it is. If it's like, if somebody sent me a tip saying, here's one of the new Pokemon, I'd be like, all right, whatever. If somebody sent me a tip like, here's what we're working on, I might write that up. If somebody sent me a tip saying, here's what the working... like, culture is at the studio, we should talk about this. That's way more important. So I feel like it's better to have fully open doors than partially closed ones.
Right.
Because partially closed means someone might not
get
through
it all. Well, what do you do as a journalist? Let's say, for example, that some really juicy thing, like a screenshot or gameplay footage of, like, a hugely anticipated new game leaks out, right? And you've got it. And the developer calls you and says... look, I'm just going to ask you, please don't report. Please don't put that stuff out, because we weren't really, it's really bumming everyone out around here. We really, really want to try to keep a lid on it. We're trying to minimize the damage. Please don't cover it. What does your journalist spidey sense tell you to do?
I've had that example before, and, like, it depends on how they approach me about it.
Okay.
If it's a company or a place that I actually have, like, a good relationship with, sometimes they will say, like, well, okay, this is getting announced in 3 days anyway. It doesn't make sense to, like, ruin this surprise for people.
Right.
Because people will get pissed. They'll get pissed. I'll ruin a relationship. It's not worth burning that bridge. If they... I've had people tell me, oh, actually, that screenshot's not real, and it turns out to be real. That pisses me off. That is something that I'm like, okay, well, that you burned that bridge with me right now. So
right.
The next time this happens, I'm not going to be, like... I won't go to you first. Other times, it's just like... Evaluating it for newsworthiness is a more difficult thing. So, like, as an example, if it's more public, then I will absolutely, like, if it's already publicly known, I'm going to write about it. If it's...
If everyone else is out there reporting on it anyway.
Like, a good example is before, when Smash Brothers is being released, they accidentally put up a trailer with Castlevania, or not trailer, but, like, they put up a track of Castlevania music.
Okay.
And that meant, like, oh, well... That, of course, means that a Castlevania character is coming to this game.
Right.
So I posted about that, and people were like, why? It's like, the trailer is tomorrow. Like, couldn't you hold off? It's like, it's everywhere. I'm sorry that I'm the one feed that you happen to see it.
Yeah.
But that's what this is.
Right.
But if I was the only one to see that, I might just hold on to it, because I don't care, honestly. Like, it's not worth ruining that surprise for everyone else.
Okay.
But it's a multifaceted thing. Like, it has been a situation where somebody has told me, yeah, it's not real, please, like, your story has inaccuracies, please pull it down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if you can tell me what these inaccuracies are, I'll be glad to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they just didn't want it up early, and I was like,
right.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Straight up bastards.
What a business. What a business.
Speaking of what a business, 2K begins the low sunset of Battleborn. This is from Reb Valentine at GamesIndustry.biz. Gearbox's hero shooter Battleborn is now officially on its deathbed, though its end promises to be a long, drawn-out one. In an official announcement today, it was announced that 2K is beginning the process of gradually sunsetting Battleborn. That process appears to be a slow one, with the game losing virtual currency on February 24th, 2020, and not officially shuttering its servers until January of 2021. The game has already been delisted from digital storefronts. 2K noted in this announcement that it was sunsetting Battleborn, quote, to focus on our efforts and resources on other products. Though no further detail was given on the reasons for the game's closure, Battleborn has fought an uphill battle at every turn since its 2016 launch, just a few weeks before its more successful direct competitor, Overwatch.
God, what a time to launch an Overwatch competitor.
No kidding. Gearbox attempted to save Battleborn in 2017 by making it free-to-play, but the writing appeared to be on the wall a few months later when creative director Randy Varnell announced the team would no longer be working on new content. Battleborn on Steam appears to have seen a peak of 38 players online at one time in the last 30 days, with its last peak of over 100 all the way back in May 2018.
So let me ask you this, Imran. Why not just put a bullet in its head?
That's a good
why
question.
Why draw this thing out?
I can't imagine there's a big enough fan base.
Well, as you can see, there isn't.
Yeah.
38 online players.
And, like, if the game's not being sold anymore, like,
right.
you cannot at this point download it if you have not downloaded it already.
Right.
And they're shutting off virtual currency in 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of keeping it alive at all?
Yeah. And what must it feel like to be one of those 100 or so players? I mean, 38 concurrent, but I imagine there's probably at least several hundred players left overall.
People maybe check in once a week.
What does it feel like to be one of those players playing this game that you know is moribund,
mm-hmm.
that is slowly going to die? Like, I don't know, it just seems really fucking depressing.
Yeah. And, like, Battleborn was, like, it was an interesting experiment in Gearbox history, I guess.
Yeah.
Of everyone wanted them to make Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
It was extremely obvious that at some point they were making Borderlands 3. Then they're like, no, we're actually making a MOBA shooter.
Right.
So I guess I would actually argue that Battleborn's failure probably informed a lot of what we see in Borderlands 3.
I always find it really sad when, because we have to deal with these, you know, it's an endless circle of life and death, Imran. You know, mm-hmm. we see this, you know, life, death, rebirth. Like, but whenever you see these stories about, like, a certain online game, is they're going to flip the switches and shut off the online world is going to just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Battleborn, you know, I remember when Lawbreakers was kind of, you know, in its last, you know, days of its inexorable decline. I just thought that was really sad to see. Like, it's just sad, you know, when these things happen.
I actually kind of love going to, like, games that are shutting down and, like, playing in the last few hours to see what people are doing. Like,
well, they usually have some kind of big event, don't they? Like, almost like a funeral type event.
Or, like, this is how the world is just ending in this game.
Yeah.
In MMORPG.
There used to be a game, I don't know if you would remember it, but Microsoft used to have a big MMO even before Warcraft, in the EverQuest days, it was called Asheron's Call. Mm-hmm. Remember Asheron's
I
Call?
Do.
Well, Microsoft announced that at some point, they just said, like, this is, yeah, I'm going back years and years. But they said, you know, we can't support the game anymore. We'll keep it running for like 6 more months so you can, you know, take care of your final affairs or whatever, you know, put your affairs in order.
Yeah.
But then we're going to flip the Switch, and the Switch was going to flip at like midnight on a certain day. And that on that last day, there was, I think it was like an article in a magazine about it, where they wrote like the last 24 hours of Asheron's Call, where a journalist went in there and hung out with the players and kind of talked about like how they feel about the game ending. And everyone came together in like a big kind of Burning Man type celebration at the end. And then flip, gone forever. Yeah. It's just something really, there's something kind of existentially really sad about that.
I've talked
like
to
a whole
like,
world that just no longer exists.
I've talked to people who mourn games.
Yeah. Like, I get that.
Yeah, that this game no longer exists, and
yeah.
I'm just never going to be able to play it. So
yeah,
when you do build up an attachment to things, community.
You do, and the like, friends that you meet in the games, yeah. Those are real people.
Like, even just aesthetics, like seeing a certain image on your computer screen.
Oh, yeah.
Matters quite a bit to some people.
Yeah,
and I can understand. I don't think that many people for Battleborn exist, but I'm sure there are some. If you're still playing it now, I'm sure that those people exist.
Right.
Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Imran and Gary. Raise your hand if you knew Battleborn servers were still up before 2K's tweet yesterday. Me neither. I could have sworn I saw something a couple of years back saying the game was dead and gone, but it seems we're getting it a couple of years later. I'm surprised that it's still going on and pity the fact that Paragon shut down before this did. Do you think 2K should have shut down this game earlier and given a statement like it did last night, or do you think they actually made money the past couple of years by keeping it around?
I don't know, but like again, to go back to the first comment, I would be fascinated to have someone here from Gearbox and ask them the question.
Yeah.
What is the reason why do you sunset a game in this way gradually like this?
Mm-hmm.
Like why not just
kill it?
Yeah, hey, you've got a week to get your shit together, you know, any friends that you've got in the game, like exchange emails or whatever, because this is going away. But like it's like having like a terminal patient. And they're suffering. They're not happy.
Geez.
You just want to pull the plug, don't you, Kevin?
I mean, yeah, sure. What do you think the cost involved is? Like, do you think this was?
I mean, if the servers don't have to sustain that many people, right? I can't imagine it's that expensive. So they think, you know, why not? You know, give people plenty of. I guess the answer would be like, well, even when there's only a few players left, like it's only right that we give them plenty of notice.
But a year? Over a year?
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And then to shut it down a piece at a time, like while the currency is going away,
mm-hmm.
and this is going away, it's like, you know how it is. It's like having a terminal disease and your body shutting down like a system at a time,
really,
until there's nothing left. Sorry, I know it's kind of grim. It's supposed to be a holiday week.
They did screw up a certain amount of like this game in general. Like remember, there was a weird thing. So when the game launched, that was the weekend. That was the same week as the Overwatch beta.
Right.
And I remember thinking like. Who did Gearbox piss off at Blizzard? That they like it was a very like it seemed a very targeted personal.
Or
thing.
Did they not know that the Overwatch beta was coming? Surely someone at Gearbox said that maybe we should fucking think about
it. Was,
moving
it was
this,
announced
this
like
this
2 weeks
date.
Before.
What was announced?
The Overwatch
before?
Beta.
Well, then why didn't someone at Gearbox say maybe we should fucking hold for a bit because we're gonna get. Why would you launch in that window?
I suppose when you have like retail copies going out and all that jazz, like it's too big a machine to stop right then.
Like, if you've got a big science fiction movie you want to release, like, you would not... I remember, like, this used to happen all the time. When we were on Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
We were talking about the release date. And originally, Avatar 2 was supposed to be, like, around the same day. And it was like, well, one of those is going to have to move. And Avatar moved.
Because
you can't have two big movies like that occupying the same space. They'll cannibalize each other.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, you'll notice that there's nothing coming out the same week as Rise of Skywalker, except, Kevin... Cats, because that's counter-programming.
Uh-huh.
All the people out there, and there are many, who don't give a fuck about Star Wars, they need an option. They need an alternative. They want to go to the movies, too.
Dude, they're going to kill
and they, yeah. and they need something else. They need a different flavor.
You can either
and
watch...
You ain't
going like
to find any more different flavor than Cats.
You can either
that
watch
is the most
the weird...
different. That is the most different flavor.
You can either watch the weird alien movie or you can watch Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
They, like, I remember... What I would say is I bet they really believed in Battleborn. Because there was that thing of, like, Randy Pitchford, who, God knows, he should not be out there hawking any sort of game at this point. But at the time, he was out there, say, like, he was linking Battleborn porn Reddits or do you not remember this?
No.
At some point, he was like, it was like, oh, who made a Battleborn porn Reddit? And I think people found out it was somebody from Gearbox, possibly Randy Pitchford, who made a subreddit for Battleborn porn.
Battle porn.
And like, I think when the game went free to play, he denied up and down it was ever going to go free to play. Then it goes free to play, and people were like, hey, what, didn't you just say it wasn't going to? He's like, it's not free to play. It's a premium demo that you can play for free.
Just why would you go up against Overwatch?
It's a good question. But honestly, like, unless they released a year earlier, there was no good time.
I mean, it went up like thinking that it could compete, right?
I guess you've got no choice, right? Because it's like, you can't release earlier.
Yeah.
And then the longer you wait, the more Overwatch builds its audience.
Yes.
So you've just gotta go toe to toe and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously, I mean, they probably always knew. Like, I guarantee you, the day that it was revealed in the Battleborn offices that Overwatch, that Blizzard was coming out with a game in the same space, they all went, "Ugh," because they see the future.
Yes,
they immediately fast forward to you, and they fast forward to an image of you and me reading this story. Battleborn is shutting down.
I went to a PAX panel, I usually go to every Gearbox PAX panel because sometimes they just give stuff away for free.
Yeah,
and I went to the PAX panel. I want to say it was 2017's, but like I figured, okay, they're probably gonna announce Borderlands this year. Maybe they'll just give Borderlands 3 away here. So a friend and I went. We were falling asleep the entire time. Because it was all Battleborn. The entire panel was just about Battleborn. And I look around at one point. I see nobody is excited. Nobody's interested. Nobody's even watching. Everyone's just on their phones.
Right.
They had to have realized by that point, this is not working. We need to get Borderlands 3 revealed as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then Borderlands 3 did come out. And like,
great.
It's great, and it also sold a hell of a lot more than Battleborn is ever going to dream of selling.
It's just it's sad when a game dies.
Yeah, it is very sad. It's like a terminal patient.
Kill it, you know, but just let it die.
Yeah, the past is dead.
Would you prefer to just rip off the Band-Aid?
No. I'm totally on board. Like, I like to think that there's like 16 people out there that like squat up all the time and like they love playing it, and this news is. Heartbreak.
Well, yeah, and I really do genuinely feel for those people, because if you're out there playing an obscure game that like there's only a handful of people left playing, you are committed. You are the hardest of the hardcore, and those people are going to be heartbroken, like Kevin says.
I want a Battleborn squad up next week, so get to it. If you have Battleborn and you want a squad up, tell like right in.
I remember how I felt last week when Kevin told me that he was going to blank me on cats and he wasn't going to go. Like, it felt like someone had reached into my chest.
I never said I wasn't.
And pulled my fucking heart out.
Possibility that it wasn't going to be able to happen.
Yeah, I could tell that you were floating it to see how I would go with it. You were hoping that I'd be like, oh yeah, well of course, Kevin, you've got to take the other opportunity.
I think there's still a fair chance that you'll cancel on me. You'll
be like, zero chance.
Had to go to L.A.
Zero chance.
Make another movie.
Zero chance.
He will fly you to LA.
I can hardly after all the shit that I've thrown at you over it. I can't be that, like, obviously I'd never live that down. Now we're going.
Yeah,
we're going to Cats.
All right, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 already is being worked on. This is from Joe Screbbles, which sounds like a makeup name at
Joe
IGN.
Screbbles.
Final Fantasy VII Remake director Tetsuya Nomura has said that Square Enix has already begun working on the next part of the episodic RPG, our episodic remake of his RPG classic. In a Square Enix blog to accompany a batch of new screenshots of the game, Nomura sought to quell fears that splitting the original game into distinct chunks would make it a much smaller experience. Quote, opportunities for discussing our true intentions are few, but with regard to the size of the game that many are asking about, there's no reason at all to worry. Even this Midgar portion alone, the density and volume are so great that I'd give directions to lighten them. With regards to new characters, of whom I said during past interviews there would be none, though there aren't many main characters, their numbers ended up growing considerably in the process of creating a rich depiction of Midgar. When you think of Midgar's final boss, you probably think of Motor, but in this game's new bosses will appear and add to the excitement of the story even more. It's a reiteration of the team's promise that each of this episode of the 7 remake will be a size of the full game. However, Nomura added a juicy extra detail at the end of the post. We've already begun working on the next one as well, but I'm confident that playing through the title will expand your expectations. Just like the world that extends beyond Midgar. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, do we know how many parts this will be?
No.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw someone under the bus here. At E3 this year, we had the very first meeting for Final Fantasy VII Remake, like we went there and there was a couple other journalists as well, and he watched like the whole Kitase giving a full like rundown of the game and how it works and like what they're doing with the remake.
Yeah.
And at the end, they only allowed for three questions. Jason Schreier asked, "Do you know how many parts the game will be?" And they said, "We do not know." That's a smart journalistic question. I asked, "Will every other part take as long to develop as this one, or will it be faster in the future?" And Kitase is like, "No, it probably won't be any faster." Which is also like it's a question people want to know. A third person asked, I'm not going to say like who they are or whatever. They said the question was,
"Did they blow their last question?"
They blew the last question hard, in a way that was so sycophantic. I'm not sure that I was like losing my mind as we were leaving there. They said Final Fantasy VII was already one of the greatest games of all time. A remake that improves on so much, won't that be the greatest game of all time? And just
wow,
everyone in the room's eyes are bugging out. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? We have three questions for this game that we know nothing about, and you're using it for that? To like beg for a job.
My question's actually more of a comment.
Yeah,
that's the last thing you want to hear.
And like they didn't know how to answer. They're like, "Yeah, we're working hard on it." It's like, what the fuck? Okay, but
is it possible at least though to look at the scope of the original Final Fantasy VII,
mm-hmm.
look at how much they did in the first part, and say, well, so that's about a third. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's three. Maybe it makes sense. It would be roughly three parts. Could you at least make a guess?
I would probably guess upwards of like five or six.
Really?
What? Yes.
Final Fantasy VII is that big?
So if every size is proportional to this one, which is not necessarily because Midgar is a fairly meaty thing that was not super expanded upon in the original game.
Uh huh.
If that's true, then we're looking at Calm to, let's say, if you wanted to go from there to Aerith's death, then that would be quite a lot.
Spoilers! Okay. Spoilers!
To Aerith, the Aerith thing that happens, then
holy shit, we want to bleep that out for YouTube and podcast.
How do you feel about that? Like a game being remade, that do you think spoiler warning still applies?
Yeah, I've never played it.
Really?
Yeah, there's going to be a whole generation of kids come out with never played it.
I was joking. I was totally joking. I feel like that's one of the most, like, I've never played this game, and I know about that.
Honestly, I probably shouldn't have. I should have said that.
No, you're fine. No, Gary's being crazy. Look at him.
No, but, like, I'm being legit. I don't like spoilers.
But have you never, like, ever heard that in the history of, like, whatever? That, like, since Final Fantasy VII came out.
The spoiler?
That's
I have heard it.
Okay.
Because it's one of those things that's kind of in the air supply. But I've heard it in the context of, I can't fucking believe someone spoiled that. That's how I've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've heard it in like the list of most like craziest things to happen.
So that's it. Most stunning, surprising moments in games.
But,
reason why you would want to be very careful about it in case someone hasn't experienced
it.
But
I've heard it so much. It's one of those things that like, I don't, you know.
It's like Darth Vader being Luke Skywalker. Everybody knows.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But like if they remade Empire Strikes Back, would it be like, be cool, don't say the thing that everyone knows already?
If an entire generation of kids had grown up not knowing it, then yeah. I mean, it's the same thing, like, if you show your kid Empire Strikes... The funny thing, my daughter's not seen Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows who Darth Vader is, because it's just something that is out there.
Yeah.
Because it's like the most famous spoiler in pop culture history, probably, right? Wouldn't you say probably the biggest one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
right. And so it's just so it becomes impossible to contain.
But I think in the gaming world, this is the same thing,
right? I would still feel an obligation to not just blurt it out.
All right, well, we've set a new rule.
Yeah, right, just
you know what though? I think the reasons you're stating for like why we shouldn't like do that,
yeah,
those are the reasons I think they should change it. Like, to have it be different.
That would be controversial as well, though.
It would be extremely controversial, but I'd be into it.
Right.
I would like a remake that changes some things.
Oh. Right,
but
right.
But, like, that big of a thing?
Or give you an option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, Mass Effect it up. Like, let's make it so you could just, like...
My guess is, given that this is a very liberal remake,
mm-hmm.
my guess is that that event will still happen, but you might see, like, a new take on it.
Yeah.
Like, it won't be the exact same cinematic, obviously.
What if they go through that scene without anything happening, and then it just happens at a random point later? Not random, but like a more surprising point later in the game. It's like, you go through like, okay, yeah, it's cool.
I think it's a very interesting question. If you're the developer, I imagine you're sitting around saying, hey, look, so we have this event that happens in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most famous holy shit moment in video games, or at least one of them. how do we deal with that in this remake? Should we do it the exact same way? Do we want to change it in some way? Like, did we want to like come up with a new approach? It's a good, it's an interesting question for the developers to ask themselves. Yeah. And I will be interested to see how they handle it.
Yeah, I would love for them to like get something. My theory, not theory, my hope is that this remake is a canonical sequel. And everyone like is doing the exact same thing, except slowly Cloud starts to realize that they've done this before. And then as they go on through the game, he's like, wait a second, this is a bit different from the last time.
Right.
I want that weird thing.
Right.
I think what they're not going to do that. It's just going to be a straight-up remake. But I would love that stupid, like, kind of messing with you Matrix-y idea.
Right.
I really hope I can get into this game.
Have you played the
original? I do too.
I've never been into a Final Fantasy
game. I'm the same as you. I never played it. I never played Final Fantasy VII. But for that reason, I'm all in on this remake.
Yeah.
Because I want to experience it. And it's going to be a super... Well, I probably wouldn't be interested in going back and playing... What was the original one? On PlayStation 1 or 2? On PlayStation 1? I wouldn't want to go back and just play the PlayStation 1 game. But this all new, like, bells and whistles version, I'll play that.
Mm-hmm. I came out of E3 thinking Final Fantasy VII Remake was the game of the show. Like, bar none.
Right.
Because Cyberpunk?
Even with Cyberpunk.
Wow.
Because, like, when I left the demo, I was like, okay, this is exactly what I wanted, and they're doing it to an extent that was far beyond what I hoped.
At the same time, it's probably going to upset a lot of purists as
absolutely.
Though, right?
Already it does. Because it's not a turn-based game anymore.
Right.
It's an action game.
Right.
Which is not what...
I'm excited about that aspect of it.
Yeah. one of the reasons why, because I don't like... The turn-based combat bores me to death.
I love turn-based, but I could go for a change occasionally.
But wait, if you're let's say, 5 parts...
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a few years to make each part. I mean, are we saying that it's going to take them like more than a decade to fully remake this game?
5 parts? How can a game be?
I can't possibly see that. That's
upward
madness.
Of 5 parts.
That's madness.
Like if they expanded on everything the way they expanded on this first portion, then 5 parts is are not even generous. It's just like conservative,
right?
Because.
So this could just be an ongoing thing now. Remaking, like it's a generation-long project to remake Final Fantasy VII at this level of ambition.
They have phrased it as that it's a parallel series now to Final Fantasy, like the main series.
Right. That's amazing. I kind of dig it.
Yeah. It raises
you
a bunch of questions.
You just treat it like, you know, like the Star Wars saga or whatever, which took decades to tell.
Yeah. It raises a bunch of questions of like, what do you do when the next game comes out? Like, it's going to come out for PlayStation 5, most likely. So are you going to carry over your progress? Like, what does your Cloud look like at the end of that game versus beginning of the next one?
Oh, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm so curious to get the answers for these things.
Scared, guys.
Yeah.
But, Gary, those answers are so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming to the mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
I'm going the wrong way on my pages here. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Gas Guzzlers Extreme is out on PS4. Pine is out on Switch. Grease is out on PS4.
That's a good game, Grease. That
Grease
was on
is really
Switch.
Good.
Really cool game. Yeah. Beautiful game.
They said there was going to be new exclusive content for the PS4, but I haven't looked into what it is.
I'm glad that it's coming to other platforms. I hope that eventually it will come to the Xbox as well, because we have it on Switch. Great game. Really
it's
pretty.
Very beautiful.
Reminds me of like Journey and experiences like that in a way.
Yeah, that was
and Limbo.
That was my
you know?
Comparison point when I first played it. I was like, oh, this is 2D Journey in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah, it's really gorgeous.
Monster Jam Steel Titans is out on Switch. Chameleon is out on Switch. End of Realms is out on PC. Toy Robot is out on PC and Mac. And Death Park is out on PC.
Which of the Grease aside, because we know what it is, which of those would appeal to you just on that title alone?
On title alone?
I would go with Gas Guzzlers Extreme.
Either End of Realms or Death Park.
I wonder what Death Park is. Okay, Kevin's already pulled up Gas Guzzlers Extreme. He's on the Oh, is it a Mad Max kind of game?
Looks like it. Some sort of racing.
It's like
Twisted Metal?
Maybe.
I don't think it's...
Twisted Metal mixed with Mad Max. No.
It reminds me of Carmageddon.
Yeah, Carmageddon. I love car combat games.
This actually doesn't look bad. I'm surprised.
You know what? I've said it a million times. It's one of those things where people almost groan when you say it. But you know what? The remake that I want more than anything else? Interstate 76.
Oh, hell yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
That was like that perfect era of like LucasArts style PC gaming.
Oh, so good.
Where you're
so
like,
good.
Oh shit, there's real narratives.
They should totally do it.
Yeah.
What other trailer did you want
to see? Death Park?
Yeah, let's look at Death Park.
Death Castle Extreme looked like there might be something to it though. I love those kind of games. Uh-oh. Can you solve all the puzzles and escape from the scary clown in this horror game?
Nope.
Okay.
Fuck that.
Mm-hmm. I assume on, this would be look. Like
nope. So it's a
Park Tycoon.
So it's like an abandoned amusement park?
I don't like it. No.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Kevin, can you not take horror games?
No, not at all.
No, too much for you?
Nah, I can't handle it.
One you, don't like them in, you don't like them in VR?
Oh.
God, no. God,
this is
no.
Those so are the best. So clearly a mobile port, though, because it used to be like a virtual analog
stick.
This
does not look great. Oh, there's a scary clown.
Nope.
Honestly, I feel like that game would be better without the scary clown. If it's just a creepy-ass amusement park, I think that's fine. Oh, it is a...
No, yeah. It's already
a mobile game
okay.
And on Steam.
All right, so it's already okay. Yeah, so it's already on Android, mm-hmm. and now it's coming to iOS and Steam. Okay. Yeah.
No, thank you.
All right.
I'm good.
I'm gonna check out that Gas Guzzlers. Are there any reviews in on that yet? Gas Guzzlers Extreme. Is it good? Let's do a quick review check.
You can be the first review, Gary.
In 1 second, I'm looking into it.
And how much is it? Is it cheap? Is it an indie game? Is it full price? What is it? I need information. It's on Xbox One as well.
62% looks like.
62% on Metacritic.
But
9 out of 10 on Steam.
So the people love it. 8.0 user score.
8.0 user score is better than the critic score.
One of the because it's one person gave it a 10. Twisted Metal New Gen. He says the game is a blast.
Doesn't have online multiplayer. That's weird.
Maybe the best arcade racing game since Epic Twisted Metal.
Might be
Metal.
A small time release, but it's full of pure unadulterated racing heart. And here's a guy, here's our reviewer score saying, Twisted Metal, new gen. This game is a blast. Maybe the best death racing arcade game since the epic Twisted Metal.
There's a lot of exclamation
this
marks.
This could be...
An intercapping.
Oh, well,
that.
That's like, he's just conveying his excitement.
Extremely excited, yes.
This could be
the new Twisted
what I'm
Metal.
Looking for.
Wait, that review's from 2017.
What? Is this an old game?
These reviews are from 2016.
What's going on? Is this an old game that's just now coming
to PS4? Yeah.
So it's been out for ages and I didn't know about it?
Yeah. Where have you been?
What the fuck? All right. Well, I guess it's just an old PS4 port. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on Game Pass or something.
That seems like one that's
how can a game like that not have online multiplayer?
Because
isn't that the whole point?
Because netcode is hard. Like, long and short of it.
All right.
I've heard that.
There were no new dates because it's Thanksgiving week, but I saw a thing today saying Castlevania Season 3 is next week. I don't think that's true. I think Netflix made a mistake, but if it is, then great.
Oh, the anime show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Season 2 was fucking fantastic.
Is it good?
Yes.
I know Warren Ellis, he's great, but I've not watched it.
Yeah, Season 1's a little, it's slow. Season 2 is even slower, but then has like, the last two episodes are probably... The best thing.
Does it have, if you're
time.
Into video game, into the games, does it have like any Easter egg-y kind
yes.
of things? Okay.
So like Simon's Quest theme plays during like one of the final battles.
Okay.
Like a very cool rock arrangement.
Oh,
of it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Deals of the day, there's still that PSN sale, but wait for Black Friday sales. Don't buy anything today. What are you doing?
Seriously.
All right. Time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can also get the show ad-free. Well, that doesn't matter today because we don't actually have ads. So we're just going to jump straight into questions. Billy the Door writes in, we all know turkey...
Oh, I see him in my Twitch chat sometimes, Billy
yeah,
the Door.
Yeah, he's on my Twitch chat too. He's yeah. great. Billy the Door writes in, we all know turkey is the star of the show, but let's settle it. Best Thanksgiving side. Thanks. Hope you all have a wonderful holiday.
Mashed potatoes, bro.
Stuffing.
Yeah, I think... For me, it would be a hard between those. I think breaded macaroni and cheese also really good.
Breaded
yeah, it could be good.
Cheese, yeah.
All yeah.
Right, sure.
What's the one that you always leave, Kevin? What's the one you don't want on your plate?
My mom makes like this weird beet salad that I'm just like, mm-mm.
Oh, I like beet salad.
She calls
God, I just asked you what you didn't like here. No need to diss your own mother. Holy shit.
You could have left that anonymous.
There's a reason.
Yeah,
it's not good.
How do you like me now, Mom?
Yeah.
Look at me, Mom, top of the world, dissing you from my multimedia entertainment platform.
This empire.
What don't you want on your Thanksgiving
cranberry.
Plate?
Cranberry.
You don't like cranberry sauce? I've never understood it. I've never understood
what?
Cranberry sauce.
Guys,
I don't
can,
get it at all.
And all you do is you pluck
I like,
out the
if
can.
You're going to have it, at least have it jiggle out of the can
yep,
and keep the
yep.
shape of the can. But I don't want it
okay,
on my plate.
What do you eat it with? Do you put it like on the turkey?
Oh, on
like
yeah,
jam?
People smother
everything.
Their turkey with it. It's disgusting.
Throw it on everything. It's
so, like,
phenomenal.
Given the option, I would rather have turkey with gravy.
What's wrong with gravy?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if
but you could do both. You could do both.
But why would you though? That's horrible.
Savory and sweet sometimes.
I assume you mean on different pieces, not on the same piece.
Why not? If you're going to do this, Kevin, why not slap some fucking ice cream on your turkey and like really go nuts? Just have it all. Why would you want to do that?
You guys aren't taking this serious.
It annoys me because like you go to like sandwich places,
mm-hmm.
and this week they usually have good like Thanksgiving themed sandwiches, like turkey and stuffing sandwich, which is great. But then they add the cranberry sauce,
it's
and that
so
spoils
good.
It.
Ike's has
no,
that too.
So good. No, I don't want that cranberry.
That little bit of tartness.
No,
you know
I don't
mean?
Like it.
Oh, it's hitting the back.
But I'm not much of a sweet and savory person. Like I've never. I will occasionally dip a fry into a milkshake, but for the most part, I don't like mixing the two.
I'm in the same boat, but I feel like the cranberry sauce is so sweet and it's got that tartness, and it really adds something.
Do you like yams, Kevin?
I'm not a big
yams. Go for
man.
A yam?
I'm not a big yam.
What about
man.
The green bean casserole? Yeah. That's a Thanksgiving perennial.
I fuck with that real hard.
I like that.
Okay,
I like if it has the French fried onions on top.
Oh, yes.
Oh, then I love it.
Yeah,
then I'm all in.
Yeah, you got to have that.
Green bean casserole is like so traditional, people take it for granted, but like really fucking good green bean
casserole.
A good
green bean casserole with like the mushroom sauce and stuff, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to take a side dish to my brothers for Thanksgiving, so I've been like experimenting with different stuff.
Yeah.
I'm probably like settingly on sweet potato dessert kind of thing.
Right, right.
But like there's a part of me that's like, what if I just fucked with like a green bean casserole? What if I just put that like did the traditional thing but made it really good?
I like to have a bit of green because I like to have something that at least looks slightly green on my plate. Otherwise, my plate's almost entirely brown. The turkey,
usually,
the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, the gravy. You gotta have a little bit of green.
Well, a salad as well.
You have a salad? Yeah. Why would you want to fill up on that shit though?
Oh, I don't want to. It's just the same thing where it's like I gotta hit some green before I hit all the brown.
And then what do you? And then what do you
that's
want?
That's my mantra.
What do you want for your dessert?
For my dessert. I mean, that really depends on where I am.
Because I've never been a pumpkin pie person, which
I
always feel a bit left out on Thanksgiving.
I love pumpkin pie.
I don't like pumpkin pie.
With some whipped cream on top. I'm all in, guys. I'm all in.
I love cheesecake a ton.
I'm getting really excited now.
Not necessarily like a Thanksgiving thing, but cheesecake is so fucking good.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Specifically the cheesecake from Costco. Like, they've nailed it. I'm happy with that. Also,
Costco has great stuff.
Paula makes a great cheesecake.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, she does.
I'm going to order from this place nearby, the one that always has a line. Like, someday. Not necessarily now.
I've had it before. It's whipped. It's like, really, like...
Yeah. They're saying, like, they can't cut it with a knife because they have to cut it with, like, fishing line.
Oh, really?
Because, like, a knife, like, just breaks the structural integrity of it, I guess.
Oh, interesting. Somebody got it for me for my birthday one year because I really like cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is fun.
Yeah. I got to tell you mine. Because I always feel bad. Cause like most of the time it's pumpkin pie, which I just can't get with. Like I'm really bummed out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll usually if I go to someone else's Thanksgiving, like you're supposed to bring. I usually bring the dessert that I'm gonna just in case like no one else has it there. I gotta have it. I gotta have Kevin. I gotta have the pecan pie.
I was gonna say, and this is one of those years where I'm going to my in-laws. For Thanksgiving,
yeah,
and they do the pecan pie. They
oh
do
yeah,
pecan squares too.
Oh, that's
good
the shit.
Stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
The thing, because the thing about pecan pie is a layer of pecans on the top. I get that, but all the pie actually is just straight up fucking sugar.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
That's it.
And I fucking
That's
love it.
That's all it needs to be. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I'm all in.
They should just call it sugar pie.
Yeah.
With pecans on top.
I'm what I'm doing for like the sweet potato thing is I'm gonna like drizzle pecans over the top of it and then bake that in.
Oh,
yes.
That sounds fantastic.
Over like
man.
Marshmallow cream.
I'm really hungry now. I kind of want to go to Ike's.
Oh yeah.
I haven't had any breakfast. I'll go to Ike's.
Yeah.
I've actually got to go. I've got to go over there right after this.
Yeah.
You want to ride over in the Tesla?
Sure.
All right, we'll go over there.
Yeah.
Do I get a ride back?
All right, we'll go over there.
My bus picks me up from there, so I might as well go, too.
Can I get a ride back, though? Can you drop me off on...
Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
I mean,
it's not that
no,
far.
No, you're abandoned. It's
I guess.
I walk it every day.
I know, but I'm in, like, my PJ sweats.
That's true. That is, it's
well, so am I.
Yeah,
I had like, to run out here in this morning.
I didn't expect to, like, do normal things in these.
Let's see how it goes.
All right.
Let's head up to You're Wrong, where people have told us what we got wrong throughout the show.
Okay. What did we get wrong? I don't think we got anything wrong. I think we've been on point all show.
Anyone disagrees, ban them.
That's right. Get the ban hammer out.
I am one of the hardcore Battleborn, and there are more than 40 people that play every weekend.
Oh, wow. I want to hear from this guy. What does he say?
He says he put in over 2,000 hours in the game.
Oh, my God. How does that person feel right now? What emotions must they be going through?
In the middle of that sentence?
I did. I belched. I belched.
Netflix has confirmed, or I guess From Freddy in Space has said Castlevania Season 3 is not coming December 1st. So that was wrong.
Okay.
Get all your news, movie entertainment news on screencast. Not happening this week, though.
Yeah. Otherwise, everyone is saying your daughter is really cute.
Aw, that's sweet.
All right. This is the last show, the last Kind of Funny Games Daily for the rest of the week. Kevin, what do we got after this?
No, it's tomorrow, right? It. Greg and Tim are on tomorrow?
No.
Oh, they're not?
Gone.
They're on Monday.
Tim? It says here, tomorrow's host.
I know.
Yeah, when it says
on Monday.
Monday.
Wait, so you don't do a show the day before Thanksgiving?
No.
Well, this is the last one. This is the Thanksgiving show.
There's actually no more shows after this either.
Period. So this is the last show, period.
This is the last.
Is this it? We're closing down Kind of Funny for the Thanksgiving holiday?
I'm installing an update on this computer. We're done.
You're going to come back and that computer's not going to work.
I know. There's always a chance. That's why I wait for the last show.
I feel like this is a good opportunity for us to go around the table and say what we're thankful for.
Okay.
Kevin, why don't you start us off?
You want me to start?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean,
we can come back to you if you need more time to think about it.
I got it. I'm thankful for my family and friends that have been so tremendously supportive throughout the year, and they have been for my entire life.
So that's sweet.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You want me to do me?
Yeah, go over.
I mean, Kevin's kind of, done the obvious one.
He's telling,
I'm thankful for my lovely family. I got my dad visiting from Europe right now. We got a full house. I've got my three generations of widows in the house right now, and that's kind of cool. Like, I'm definitely thankful for my family, particularly thankful for my wife, who has dug me out of the shit so many times in my life, and prevented me from making catastrophic mistakes and generally making a complete idiot of myself many, many times. She is the absolute number one most important person in my life, and there's a good chance, I'm not even joking, because I used to be an alcoholic. There's a good chance if I'd not met my wife, I'd be dead now. Mm-hmm. I think she saved me in so many different ways. I don't even know how to tell you or thank her for it, but there you have it. That's what I'm thankful for. Imran.
I'm actually thankful for Kind of Funny.
We saved your ass, right?
You guys saved my ass. I went through what was one of the worst things I've ever gone through in my life.
Yeah.
And Greg Miller was there day one trying to make sure I was okay. And him, Kevin, I'm thankful for you. Thankful for Joey, Cole, Greg, Andy, even Nick and obviously Tim as well. You, Gary, it has been a hell of a 3 months, and Kind of Funny as an organization, Kind of Funny as a community has been there for me in a way that, honestly, I probably don't deserve, but I'm incredibly thankful for. I'm thankful for my girlfriend, Rebecca Valentine. She is...
Oh, that's sweet.
She is the very much a important part of my life.
Wait, doesn't she live all the way out in Kansas?
She does.
How do you make that work?
It's hard. But...
Wait, Kansas or Kansas City?
Kansas City.
In Kansas City,
Missouri,
right?
Yeah.
How do you make that work?
It's difficult.
How often do you get to see each other?
Not as often as I would like. It's usually once a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And this
do
next
you
month,
go there or she, how does that?
We trade off, theoretically.
Okay.
And in January, we're going to go to the NEAR concert together in Chicago. So
okay.
It's stuff like that. But
yeah. It's tough making that work. Long distance is tough.
When you meet someone you think you're that compatible with, you kind of make it work.
You got to make it work.
Yeah.
But that's good. I like Rebecca. She's great.
Yeah, Rebecca's a big fan of you as well.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's come up more than once.
I'd like to also add that I'm thankful for a good Star Wars game that I love so much.
Are you going to be?
I still got to play it.
You got it. The first 6 or 7 hours, not great.
No.
Yeah.
But after that, I'm all in.
Once it clicks, it clicks really well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
It's been a long time since
If you're in the chat, I encourage you to take a moment to post about what you're thankful for as well.
Yeah.
Why not? Let's have a thankful chat.
Yeah, just keep, we're going to read subs in a bit, so please just keep telling us what you're thankful for. All right, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 26, 2019. All of y'all have a happy, safe Thanksgiving with your friends and family and whoever else you want to spend your time with. Gary?
And then we'll be back, and it's the run into Christmas. What could be more exciting?
Woo!
I'm telling you, Kevin, it's the official line on this. As soon as you see Santa at the end of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, as soon as he shows up, that's it. It's on.
Yep.
Christmas is officially on.
I'm ready.
I'm all excited.
Greg has said that there will be some sort of Christmas outfit, and whether I have to wear it or not is going to be a open question, so I'm excited to see what that is.
All right, okay, I'm excited about that too.
All right,
elaborate.
Gary, thank you so much for coming.
See you next time,
and see you all later.